is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Monday to you. I hope you're good. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're amazing. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. This is when the show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I might be in Atlanta. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. There's a lot to do. Welcome to the show. Big weekend in college football. Big weekend in the NFL. Got the baseball playoffs going on right now. New York Mets leading the Dodgers 6-1. Keep you up to date on that. We have Monday Night Football. The New York Jets, the drama Jets, and the Buffalo Bills are going to go at it. Interesting matchup. Interesting day. The New York Yankees are playing. This is an amazing day. We're going to talk about everything like the beatdown the Cowboys got yesterday. Going to get into the Detroit Lions and their big loss of Aiden Hutchinson. RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan is going to join us to talk all things Cowboys. Ben Hartsock is going to join us. You might remember him. He played tight end at The Ohio State University. You can listen to him on Sirius now. We're going to talk some college football. Texas handled business against the Sooners. Penn State handling business against USC. It just is a lot that went on over the weekend. And then Oregon handling business too. Them Ducks took care of the Buckeyes. We're going to get into it all. You can always listen to this show on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. It's SiriusXM channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You can follow me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that good stuff. And if you want to call up, you can do that too. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Ryan Hickey, how the hell are you?
I am, well, at least at the moment, so far so good, JR.
Are you pinning this on the New York Mets?
Of course. It's playoff baseball here.
They got smacked over the weekend, and now they're returning the smack. It's still the top of the sixth, so there's still time, okay?
Never said it was over. Plenty of time, like you said. I mean, four more at-bats for this Dodger team that can get hot, but so far, so good. Get 12 more outs, and all is well.
Yeah, Vientos hitting a home run. The New York Mets up 6-1. Let's see what happens in the rest of the evening. A lot of, you know, that guy called last week, Hickey, and he's like, oh, New York bias. And what do you want me to do? Like, the New York Jets are a blank show. You got the Mets and the Yankees both in the postseason, two of the biggest payrolls we got in baseball. Like, what am I supposed to do? Ignore Aaron Rodgers? Ignore the Mets and their wild ride? Am I supposed to ignore these things?
Yes. Ignore the biggest stories in sports so you can avoid any sort of New York bias living down in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. All right. So what am I supposed to talk about? The Sacramento Kings? Is that what I'm supposed to talk about?
Yes. Everything happening tonight you're supposed to ignore.
Okay.
Not happening.
All right. Well, we'll talk about these the Buffalo Bills and the Jets. We'll do that. We'll keep you up to date on all the baseball as it continues on. But let's get this out the way. You know, last night, I can't even say ironically, anybody could have seen this coming. The Bengals and the Giants, I lamented the fact on Friday. I said, why is this Sunday night football? Who wants to watch this? Bengals won 17-7. And I just had to go, well, this is crap. Like, who wants to bother with this? I was dying laughing when the fans were booing the Giants because I'm like, this is the same product you basically got for the past, I don't know, forever. No offense, the team stinks, and that was a waste of time of a game. But for the New York Giants, that wasn't even the worst. So forget the Giants. That wasn't even the worst performance by a team in the NFC East. Because we can go from New York, we can go straight to Dallas, Arlington. And we can look at what took place between the Lions and the Cowboys. Sad. Pathetic. Awful. The Lions annihilated them 47-9. Jared Goff threw for 3 touchdowns. The bad news for the Lions is Aiden Hutchinson is now out. The man broke his leg. They're actually saying they think he might come back if they go to the Super Bowl 4 to 6 months. I'm like, whoa, this guy broke his leg. Had to take that guy out of there in an air cast. Needed to immediately have surgery. Y'all gonna try to rush this man back? Let the guy heal up first. But we'll get into the Lions. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys, who now have a record of 3-3. They've lost at home again. I can't even say lost. That was an annihilation. Dak Prescott threw two interceptions. Things aren't necessarily going to get better for the Dallas Cowboys because they have the 49ers on the 27th. At least they get a break to breathe in how bad and how terrible they are. And this is the fun part about it. After a loss, of course, we're going to hear from you-know-who, Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones spoke to the media, and he already told everybody, am I going to fire Mike McCarthy? Listen to Jerry Jones' response to that one.
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Okay, Dallas Cowboys are 3-3. They look like the team everybody thought that they were going to be. I certainly understand not having Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and Deron Bland. I understand not having all of those guys has a big effect on what the defense can or can't do. Somebody explain the 9 points. Somebody explain the lack of talent on the team. Ezekiel Elliott, who's just asking for the football, 17 yards rushing. Rico Dowdle, 25 yards rushing. Well, when you're getting your butt kicked, the only way you can try to stay alive in the game is to just throw the rock around. And so Dak, he told everybody after his two interceptions, he's like, yeah, folks, I suck. I need to do better.
I don't want to say I have to play perfect by any means, but I've got to play better than I did, and close to it, especially when you're playing a team like that. As talented as they are, they're hot right now. Good on defense, great on offense.
Hickey, I don't want to say that I need to play better, but I need to play better. Was he conflicted on telling the truth?
I guess so. And him saying he needs to play perfect, doesn't that almost sound like he doesn't trust any of his other teammates?
Well, I mean, you think about there's no the poor guy. Brandon Cooks is not playing. Got an infection in his knee after a minor surgery. He got no running game on the Dallas Cowboys. All the key defenders are basically hurt. Dak is throwing the football to the wrong team. This is just a disaster. Mike McCarthy knows as much. The guy who's a lame duck head coach who's going to get fired at the end of the year. Mike McCarthy says, we didn't do the job in any phase of the game.
The obvious facts, I mean, you know, we're not taking care of the ball. We're not taking it away. I mean, that's a number one on the list of basics as far as how we train, where we put our time. And so we got to start there. I didn't do a very good job today as far as, you know, some of the answers that our guys needed.
They don't have any answers. They don't have enough talent. The Dallas Cowboys are going they're going nowhere. Well, I know where they're going. It ain't going to be to the playoffs. It ain't going to be to no victory. And if they do get to the playoffs, they're going to get smacked out and disappointed just like they are every other year. It's sad. Watching the Dallas Cowboys is like watching a rerun. Watch one of them TV shows, a syndicated show. Maybe you've seen the same episode 80 times over the past 30 years. I don't know. Is it Golden Girls? Is it what comes on? Is it Law and Order? Is it the same episode over and over again? The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The Dallas Cowboys are predictable. Same thing every year, except for this go-round. They might be a little bit closer to 500. They're pathetic. Jerry Jones. I don't know where he's been. He says this loss, yeah, it made us all take a look in the mirror. It stinks.
I got to assess. We've certainly got a bye week, but there's nothing magic about bye week. This was very concerning, and it was very humbling, and it was very, I felt bad because of all of our great fans. This was a shocker. I thought we would do a lot of things better in that football game, and think we can. But don't have a lot of answers.
You don't have enough talent. You basically walked around with the same team that you had last year and guys got older. and forget that because Pollard is gone. You bring back Ezekiel Elliott. He can't move the football to save his life. The wide receivers are hurt. The defenders are. Yeah, people are hurt, but the Dallas Cowboys are screwed. They just took on a team. This is the cream of the crop with the Detroit Lions, and they're dealing with their own issues now with one of the premier pass rushers in the game. He gone. Aiden Hutchinson. We'll get into that in a second. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Trey is here from North Carolina. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Trey?
That's Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Come on.
I can only read what's in front of me, but you're here on the radio. What do you have for us, Trey, from the Carolinas? Go ahead.
Dak Prescott is the same exact quarterback he's been since he started in this league, and I'll keep saying it since day one of his rookie year and against the New York Giants in his rookie first game ever. He was mediocre, and we won because he threw a couple of good passes. Then he had a whole bunch of completions in a row without an interception, which was wonderful because they were all three-yard passes. But we rode the offensive line. We rode the defense. We rode Zeke when he was actually good. That happened for at least 4 years. And I said the same thing from day one. I keep on saying it. He's no different, and this offense is no different. This is the same offense we had last year. It's no different, except we lost Tony Pollard. Nobody thinks Tony Pollard's a game-changing running back who makes this big of a difference. The problem is the Cowboys aren't playing the Giants yet twice yet. They haven't played mediocre teams like the Eagles secondary, where Dak Prescott can put up 350 yards in garbage time when we're already up by 10, and the defense is terrible. So when the defense can't carry Dak Prescott across the finish line, Dak Prescott loses 90% of the time, especially when we play good teams. It's never different.
This is the difference, and thank you, Trey, for calling from the Carolinas. You take a look at Dak Prescott. You can't ignore what he has done, okay? You can say the guy's making $60 million. Is he playing like a $60 million player? Does he have the accolades to take in $60 million a year? I don't think so, but that's the market. And the Dallas Cowboys are always stupid for paying their guys a little too late, dragging everything all the way to the wire, dragging everything all the way to the line. It's the Dallas Cowboys way, and it's unfortunate. But you can't ignore the 12-5 seasons every year. You can't ignore that. If you want to talk about Dak Prescott failure, then go ahead and take a look at the two victories and what, 5-6 losses that he now has in the postseason? That's where you look at it. Don't worry about beating up on the New York Giants and saying I can throw 300 yards against the Eagles. This man, Dak Prescott, was an MVP candidate last year. Do me a favor. How many quarterbacks or how many teams in the league would like to have Dak at QB? You think about some of the guys that are running around. Dak is a good quarterback. Nobody's confusing him with Patrick Mahomes. But when you take a look at all of the QBs across the league, like Dak is no bum. You know, I can think about a lot of guys that I would just go, hey, no, I'm taking Dak instead of him. And so live with it. Here's the problem. Here's the larger issue with the Dallas Cowboys. The biggest finger, or the first finger, shouldn't be pointed at Dak Prescott. This is almost like I'm a broken record at this point. I think a lot of people are. It's Jerry Jones, the man who won't get out of the way, the guy who says that I have failed or I need to do better or this situation needs to improve. But he also on one side of his mouth goes, oh, yeah, well, you know, nobody knows the Cowboys better than I am. But then another day he'll say, well, I failed. So what are you going to do about it? You know, you're not firing yourself. You're not leaving. You're not selling the team. But are you going to give up the GM duties? No. And is he doing all the work? No, he's not. But he has the ultimate say, so it's his team. He can do what he wants with it. A little too much meddling going on when it comes to Jerry. Stay out the way. Get some help. I mean, Hickey, if the Raiders front office and the Cowboys front office, if they were people and they had kids, the kids would come out demented and twisted and these kids would have issues, man. These front offices, let's put the Jaguars in there. Like, are they studying the same handbook?
Have to be. Because like you said, the incompetency just continues. No changes are made. And you're just spinning the hamster wheel. And the same thing happens over and over and over again on a yearly basis.
Yeah, sometimes you got to know when the hell to get on out the way. And Jerry Jones isn't going to get out the way. We know that. And so that's why a team like Detroit, which has just kind of jumped up over the past year, year and a half, 2 years, the Lions, the revamped Lions, full of talent, full of offensive weapons, the Lions can walk into Dallas, Super Bowl contenders, and smack around the Cowboys. This is just the same old song, same situation. The Cowboys will win, they'll lose all year long. And then we'll get to the inevitable. Jerry Jones picking up the phone and asking Mike McCarthy to come to his office and let him know that he's firing him. I told you the Dallas Cowboys are like a sitcom. Well, damn it, we already know the ending. And Jerry Jones doesn't have to get rid of Mike McCarthy today for us to know how it's going to end. We knew how it was going to end just dating back to last year, earlier this season, where he just let him dangle and twist in the wind before letting everybody know, oh, yeah, he's coming back. And the fact that he's on an expiring contract, well, that's going to motivate him in the team some more. Okay, you should have got some better players. A little too late for that. And the team that is competing for a Super Bowl, the Lions, it really stinks. You lose one of the young stars, emerging stars in the league, in Aiden Hutchinson, the guy who came out of Michigan, gets drafted by the Lions, is like, I got 10 sacks for you. He had 10 sacks as a rookie, 9.5. He had 11.5 last year. The man already has 7.5 sacks this season. He's been living a storybook for the past 4 years. And now the guy got a broken leg. It's unfortunate. They're missing a key weapon and missing a key part. And last night, Dan Campbell, well, matter of fact, earlier, he gave an update on Aiden Hutchinson. Listen to this.
He's being taken care of. He'll stay back here. You know, obviously he's going to be down for a little while. And so that's tough, man. It's hard when you lose somebody like him. But we'll know a lot more after this and obviously wish him the best.
Well, yeah, it stinks. You don't replace him. And everybody's talking, oh, 4 to 6 months and he might be able to come back and play in the Super Bowl if they get that far. You might as well wipe that idea out. I'm not saying it's not miraculous comebacks, but why even be invested in such a thing? It's going to be tough to pick up 7.5 sacks, but I think the Detroit Lions, definitely that offense is where it's at. I think their offense will be enough to keep them in the game. Their quarterback, Jared Goff, who threw 3 touchdowns yesterday in this 47-9 beatdown. Jared Goff said, yeah, Aiden being out, broken leg, it's awful for us.
It's really tough, and he's a guy who's part of the heartbeat of this team and is a leader, does everything right. He's a great teammate. He's everything you want in a player and a teammate, and to have him go down like that and to be visibly upset is tough for all of us. And He will be fine. You know, he's going to come back eventually, whenever that may be. But knowing him, he will be fine, and he will bounce back.
And the Lions will be fine. They're going to put up points. They're going to drop bombs in the air. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson. They're going to score points. They will be alive. But when you get to a key game, maybe in the postseason, that's when you're really going to miss Aiden Hutchinson. Remember that. This is a big loss for the Lions. I don't think so much so in the regular season, but this is going to affect them. Get well soon to Aiden. And the Lions, good luck. We'll see what you do. The 49ers are going to continue to try to get healthy and creep up on them. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We have so much to do. I told you RJ Choppy from 105.3 The Fan is going to join us in a few hours from Dallas to talk about everything going on with the Cowboys. Hey, next hour, Ben Hartsock is going to join us from SiriusXM, covers all things college football, used to play for The Ohio State University. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, yeah, let's take a look at what took place in the college football world over the weekend. Ohio State taking that L. Penn State getting a W. There's a lot of things that we need to discuss. Of course, speaking of Dallas, the state fair's going on. Red River rivalry going on, and Texas handled business against Oklahoma. We'll talk about college on the other side. 855-212-4227 is just getting started. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got one more NFL game to wrap up this week. We got the New York Jets hosting the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about that game later on in the show. We took a look at some of the weekend's action, and we'll dive a little bit deeper into some of the NFL games that took place yesterday. We talked about the most glaring, I guess, score that you could look at. We talked about the Dallas Cowboys losing to the Detroit Lions 47-9. But if I go back to Saturday, there were certainly some jarring results as well in the college football world. To the shock of, I don't think, too many people. A lot of people had Texas beating the Sooners, and that they did. Knocked them around. Well, I can't say. I didn't think this was going to be the score. 34-3. Whooped them. Quinn Ewers came back. 200 yards. Texas rushed for three TDs. This game was out of hand. You could have quit really early on. And next up for Texas is Georgia, the Bulldogs, who, by the way, took care of Mississippi State. We'll get into that in a minute. And so, hey, Texas is sitting here at number one. Number one team in the whole country. Quinn Ewers is now back. And Steve Sarkisian, he loves what they've been able to do.
Proud of the guys. Like I told them in the locker room, it's a great win. Getting the golden hat back is a tremendous honor for these guys to have their part of their legacy here. We're going to enjoy it, but the journey's far from over. We got more work to do.
Yeah, well, I got them beating Georgia because I don't know if the Bulldogs, I don't know if they can keep up. Their defense is going to have to handle business. I don't believe in the Georgia Bulldogs offense to go out there and keep up. Georgia took on Mississippi State, beat them 41-31. I think that's what Mississippi State is there, to get knocked around and get beat up on by everybody in the SEC. But then the biggest story out of that game wasn't the victory. Is that Hickey, did Kirby Smart black out? He didn't know what the hell he was doing. He shoved Michael Van Buren from Mississippi State, and he says he didn't mean to. What is that?
That was crazy. I believe him. It did seem like he kind of just like zoned in on one thing and just totally like blacked out everything else around him. But it's definitely not a good look.
Yeah. Commissioner Sankey is just like, oh, he should have been penalized. Well, I mean, the ref was standing right there. Maybe he wasn't paying attention. Kirby Smart says he was trying to get the attention of his defensive coordinator. He said it was pandemonium. And let's be real. Kirby Smart, he doesn't bother anybody. It's not Bobby Knight out there. We ain't punching the opposition. I forgot that coach's name. He just punched the one of the other team's players at the end of the game. Like, this is not that. And Kirby Smart didn't know what the hell he was looking at. He shoved the guy. As a matter of fact, he spoke to the media today, and he said, I ain't do it on purpose.
After you guys said that in the press conference, I went back and watched it, you know, and didn't even realize that I had run into him, but I reached out to Levy that night and talked to him, and he said the kid was great. And then yesterday I talked to Mike and told him, you know, I had no intentions or ill will towards him at all. It was, if you've ever been on the sideline in a game, it's pandemonium. It's really pandemonium when you're trying to change personnel and you only got 3 to 4 seconds to do it. And we were bad off in a bad personnel grouping against empty that we actually had messed up the week before. And so I was trying to get to Schumann to get that changed. But I reached out to the kid. He was great. He's a really good player. He's going to be a good player in this league. And he played better as the game went on against us.
Yeah, I just accidentally shoved the opposition. It happens, right? He wasn't paying attention. He shoved the guy. End of story. Hickey, what do you think happens between Texas and Georgia? I'm going to take Texas because I don't like Georgia to score nothing.
I'm with you, and even Georgia's defense right now, between the Alabama game a few weeks ago, I mean, Mississippi State scored some points here. They made it, you know, close,
right,
closer
31?
Than anyone should have thought.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I like Texas in this game.
Yeah, I told you, I'm not feeling good about Georgia. No longer feeling good about, I'm talking about to win the whole thing. Not looking at Alabama to win the whole thing. And we had another team that certainly made a statement along with Texas on Saturday. We can look at Oregon. The Ducks beat Ohio State 32-31. They got Purdue up next. Good for them. They can go 7-0. And we talked about how big of a game this was on Saturday. You think about the new construction and a new conference, and what are they going to do? Ohio State going out to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks, and Dillon Gabriel man, went out there, threw for 340-plus yards to go along with two touchdowns. Ohio State, well, they've fallen in the rankings. They're number four. The Ducks are sitting here at number two with a 6-0 record, just like Texas. And so people are looking at the Ducks and they're saying, okay, there's, they know Washington to slap them around, not this go-round. And so Dillon Gabriel, he's happy with how the team won the game. Listen.
You know, we all knew what we were getting into, you know, a dogfight and two heavyweights going at it. But that's what college football is all about. We're excited for that opportunity and took advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm not chopping Ohio State out of the conversation for a national championship. They have Nebraska up next, and then after that, Penn State. Penn State handling business as well, knocking off USC, got by on a field goal. Hickey, you keep up. This is where you went to school. What are your thoughts on Penn State? They are the other only 6-0 team outside of the two I just mentioned. What are your thoughts on what these Nittany Lions can do, man?
That was a gutty win they had on the road at USC. With that said, I'm a little concerned about how slow they start these games. I'm a little concerned that USC, who you've been able to push around in the trenches, USC actually pushed Penn State around a lot in this game, and that is a little concerning.
And so you're not all that high about sitting at number three.
I think they'll play a close game against Ohio State. Right now, if I had to pick that game 3 weeks from now, I would say Ohio State wins.
Oh,
close,
boy.
But I think they win.
Yeah. I think Penn State is, do you think they have currently, if we just have to look at where they're ranked, have they currently maxed out on what they're going to do this year?
No, which is, I think, an encouraging part, too. Like, I don't think they've peaked whatsoever. They have plenty of areas to still improve upon. They're sitting there at 6-0 with, again, a nice win over what, you know, could have been a ranked team on the road, come back. I think it's still, their ceiling has not been reached.
Okay. Let's talk about a team that took an L this weekend. I think they may have peaked because they can never get over the hump when it's time to beat a ranked team. Garners a lot of attention because the coach and his son and the wide receiver slash defensive back who got hurt, Travis Hunter. I'm talking about the Colorado Buffaloes. They had a chance against Kansas State and they lost 31-28. They're better. This is the type of game from last year. They would have got smashed around. And so they miss out on another chance and an opportunity to make some noise. The Buffaloes are 4-2. They lost to Nebraska. They just lost to Kansas State. And, of course, after the game, Deion Sanders, he spoke because that's what Deion does. And he says, we had opportunities. We just choked.
We had opportunity tremendously at the end of the game. We took a shot. We didn't come up with it. Game over, but we shouldn't have been in that situation whatsoever.
Oh, my goodness. Same old, same old. You know, Hickey, at least Colorado isn't getting as much attention as they did last year. It seems like things have kind of faded. If Deion Sanders isn't getting into a fight with the media, people look at Colorado and go, okay, did they win? Did they lose? And then they just kind of keep it moving from there. No big deal.
The hype, thankfully, has calmed down. To Colorado's credit, they at least have been more competitive this year. I mean, they're 4-2, playing tough, a lot tougher than last year.
Yeah, well, this you speaking of, we know what happened with the Dallas Cowboys. It's like waiting to see what happens at the end of the year. The same thing for the Colorado Buffaloes. What happens when his son is gone? What happens when Travis Hunter is gone? What does Deion do? Is he going to stick around with Colorado for 1 year? Is he going to bail? We'll find out sooner than later. So talk about a whole lot more and dive a little bit deeper into everything that we discussed. Ben Hartsock is going to join us next hour to talk more college football. And unfortunately, Ohio State is where he went to school, where he played tight end. Yeah, not the result that they wanted going up into Eugene, Oregon. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. You know what? Speaking of results, we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to give you an update on the New York Mets. They're trying to get the result that they want. And the New York Yankees are playing as well, getting ready to go up against those Guardians. We have so much more to get into, more football as well.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, yeah, this makes me want to drive to, I don't know, Arizona and I don't smoke cigarettes, but I want to have a cigarette and a beer right now.
Okay, listen, make that two. I'm in.
Get on a bike, you know. You want a road trip? Where are we going?
I like Arizona. That sounds pretty good. Drive through the desert, see some nice sights through the countryside, and we'll just smoke some, drink some, and have a good time.
Okay, I'm with it. I'm with it. And speaking of good, are you okay? I see the New York Mets, that 6-0 lead is now a 6-3 lead. Bottom of the seventh, New York Mets, trying to keep these Dodgers at bay. You all right? How's the ticker?
Who sings it? Is it Coldplay? So I apologize to the band here if I'm screwing it up. If it's not Coldplay. Still alive, but barely breathing.
Oh, my God. What did you do over the weekend when they got smashed 9-0?
Actually, it was easy. I was on the air yesterday during that game. I mean, yeah, it's 6-0. What was it, the second or third inning? I said, okay. Wait, you know, I waved the white flag early. Not their night. Can't touch Jack Flaherty. Senga can't throw a strike. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. One of those games. Bounce back. Early game tomorrow. Let's go. So I kind of wrote this one off pretty fast.
Yeah, the Tigers could have used Jack Flaherty over the weekend as well. You had messaged me. We had messaged. And you were telling me about Skubal as well. I said, this guy is going to... He's been too good. He's bound to crack, and he cracked. And now we got the Guardians and we got the Yankees. That's pretty much what it is. So we'll see what the Tigers do. Baseball is so volatile, so up and down, the parity. We see the two teams that appeared in the World Series last year didn't even make the postseason, taking a look at the Rangers, taking a look at the Diamondbacks. And now we got the Mets. You know, they're trying to even up the series against the Dodgers. We got the Yankees trying to get a leg up on the Guardians in about an hour's time as well. But on the Mets side, let's take a listen to the Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts. He spoke to the media yesterday, and he was feeling the small ball, single, double, everything approach that the Dodgers had. Listen.
The truth of the matter is that the postseason is different than the regular season. And, you know, it's about kind of 90 feet and giving yourself. And some of that was making sure Shohei had a chance to get up. But to Tommy's credit, to Kike's credit, driving in those runs were huge.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yesterday's game. Think about today's game. See if the New York... Hickey, the New York Mets are going to hold on. You'll be fine. It'll be all right.
I mean, there's a long way to go. I hope you're right here. Six more outs.
Okay, all right. I feel confident that the New York Mets will get the job done and tie this series up at one. Meanwhile, in an hour from now, the New York Yankees are going to be in action against the Guardians. In the regular season, you just heard Dave Roberts. He's just like, regular season playoffs are different. This year, the New York Yankees had a 4-2 record against the Guardians. And the New York Yankees are ready to make some hay. The New York Yankees need to beat the Guardians. Otherwise, their fans are going to beat them to a pulp. The New York Yankees need to go to the World Series, otherwise their fans are going to have a fit. Aaron Boone, always. I think Hickey, who gets it worse? Brian Cashman, right, you think? Brian Cashman?
I would say Boone just because he's more front-facing.
Oh, boy.
You know, having to answer questions every day. Cashman can kind of hide in the shadows a little bit. I would say Boone.
Yeah, Brett, people want to fire Aaron Boone all the damn time. Cashman, they want to fire him. And Aaron Boone spoke to the media and he says, I get it, people. I know. Our ass is on the line. Listen to what he said.
You certainly understand that we're playing for a pennant now, right? For the right to go to the World Series. So you're aware of that, but you're also just like, man, it's game one. And that's where we're trying to get ready for that.
Yeah, well, they'll get ready. That game will take place in about an hour from now, first pitch. You got Rodon taking on Cobb. Hopefully Rodon doesn't act like a fool. This guy got so hyped up in the last game just to kind of get smacked around. Just compose yourself. I got the Yankees taking game one at home. Biggest threat? We know who the hell it is. You don't have to look any further than Jose Ramirez. This man is a 30-30 threat. I don't know where he gets all this power from. His bat speed is off the charts. And Aaron Boone is like, people know who he is. Stop talking about the dude like he's not a star. Listen.
If I hear another how underappreciated, underrated he is from somebody on a network or something, I want to rip my arms off and throw it at the TV. He's not underappreciated. He's not underrated. He's a great on a Hall of Fame track player, and everybody knows it.
Everybody, man, had 39 home runs, 118 RBIs. A dangerous man. I'm going to take the Yankees. I'm going to take the Yankees in a series. Because they can't get smacked around and embarrassed. There's no if the Astros were here, I'd be like, hey, the Yankees are going to lose to the Astros. It's their birthright. And I want to give Judge the benefit of the doubt that he's finally going to break out. Giancarlo Stanton was able to help out in the last series, allowing the New York Yankees to advance. But now I believe it's Aaron Judge's time to step up. I think it's his time to shine. You talk about pressure. If he stinks in this American League Championship Series and the New York Yankees get sent home, Aaron Judge is going to have a long offseason because the papers, the fans, when he gets to spring training, this is all it's going to be about. It's it. And so the Yankees, the big bad Yankees, gigantic payroll, beating up on the little Guardians. Again, that's the expectation. And the manager of the Guardians, Stephen Vogt, he says, I don't care how people perceive us. We good.
We worry about us. You know, we've taken that with every series, all year long. And we can control what we can. And we know the Yankees are good. They've played us tough. This is a really good team we're about to go up against. But we're confident in who we are. And that's all we can control is us. So it's going to be a fun series, and we're really looking forward to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. Hickey, what do you think is going to happen in this series? I'm going with the big, bad Yankees.
I will go with the Yankees. I am very hesitant about this series. I think the Yankees, because I think, number one, the Guardians are getting overlooked in this instance, just based on where they play and their name versus the Yankees brand. Like, the Yankees have not been playing great baseball. I think there are concerns about their lineup, and there are concerns about their pitching. I think, you know what? I'm talking myself into it. Guardians are winning this series.
Oh, my God.
Guardians in six.
In six?
In six.
It's not even worth bringing up a conversation of what happens to Boone. They fire him at that case, right? They fire him.
I mean, the only reason why I would say no is just because I feel like we've had that conversation now for, what, 3 years in a row?
But that they won't fire Boone?
That they should and won't. I mean, they missed the playoffs last year. Came back, no problem.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like every year we talk about him, this is the year he gets fired. They don't make it. He's going to get fired. And it's him and Cashman every year skate by. And guess what? The same thing happens every year at the Yankees, right? Get off to a good start. Oh, my God, vibes are high. This seems so great. Then all of a sudden, a lull starts to hit. And you get to the postseason. And everything that's led them in the regular season all of a sudden starts to falter. They can't find ways to win in the postseason. And they lose and get eliminated. It's the same thing every year.
They are so comfortable with the Yankees. Like, Brian Cashman might as well, you know, people joke that he's a Steinbrenner. He might as well be at this point. He's more protected than Boone is. But I would say more of the Yankees' issues have related more so to talent and less about Aaron Boone. Let's be real. Everybody blames the coach. Things don't work out. It's always the coach. It's always the manager. I mean, you go over to the New York Jets, who are going to play against the Buffalo Bills tonight on Monday Night Football. You take a look at that situation and you just say to yourself, well, why did Rob Saleh get fired now? It's not so much that he's a bad coach. He's okay. He's not a great coach, not by any stretch. The only reason he got fired is because the team is not performing. And so, Boone, yeah, people want to get rid of him. It's not all his fault. You know, for years they needed to diversify the lineup. They needed to get smaller, more athletic. You bring in a guy like Jazz Chisholm. The Yankees' payroll is ridiculous. This is why there's an expectation for them to go out there and win. When you got a payroll, $300+ million, and the team that you're going up against in the Guardians, their payroll is like $50 million. Think about this for a second. How does baseball even allow? I guess it doesn't matter, but 300 versus 50? This is why the Players Association is that a home run by the Dodgers? No, he's going to catch it. Hickey caught it. Good job.
The Mets are up. Unless you are insanely ahead of me or behind.
No, I'm insanely blind.
That's what I was going to say. On my TV, Francisco Lindor is just up.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
You can see into the future.
No, I can't. I'm just blind. Yeah, New York Mets still leading 6-3. Trying to put some insurance runs up on the board. Yeah, people, I'm blind. I'm blind. I saw Mark Vientos' grand slam earlier, so that much I know. New York Mets up 6-3. New York Yankees and Guardians get started in an hour. In a little more than an hour, the New York Jets will host the Buffalo Bills. What a bleep show that will be if the New York Jets lose this game after having fired Rob Saleh. We got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to get back into some more NFL action on the other side of the break. You thought the Jets had it bad? Have you seen the Browns? Oh, my God. Deshaun Watson still has a job. They got to pay that man for being awful. Just slapped around. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.